for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday evening, December the 25th, 1983. Midwinter camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs, Arkansas. Glenn Miller with communion and Bob Mixon speaking. We're going to partake of communion in a few minutes. I'm going to read us some scriptures. Communion has always been something that has kind of awed me, and I have never fully understood it, and probably don't yet. But about 6 weeks ago, I came to a new understanding about communion. And I came and I realized one of the reasons why that I never felt right about taking communion just the first Sunday in every month as a tradition. And I'm going to try this evening, before we take communion, to explain a little bit about what I came into an understanding about it at the James Robinson In the Word seminar 6 weeks ago. Because there's part of the scripture that's read for communion that has always bothered me. And I never fully understood it. And now I have a little better understanding of that scripture. And we'll get to it before we take communion. But the communion, as it's represented, the cup, the blood of the Lord Jesus, is a covenant of the Lord that is from Genesis clear through. It's the scarlet thread that runs through the Bible. And it is a covenant that God has made with His people. And every time you take communion, you are acknowledging before those about you and before especially the Lord that you are declaring that you are partaker and keeper of His covenant. And that's awesome. Genesis chapter 3, verse 21. We have an account of the beginning of the blood sacrifice of which Jesus ultimately became the ultimate sacrifice. Unto Adam and also to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. The first acknowledgement of a sacrifice or the shedding of blood for a purpose, and it was to cover their sin or their nakedness. It was a covering for them because that is the reason that the blood was shed. And Jesus' blood was shed for a covering and a washing for us, to cleanse us of our sins and to give us an advocate, a high priest who is our Redeemer. And as we accept and acknowledge Him and His shed blood, then we have Him as an advocate for us. Our high priest, our lawyer, which is what an advocate means, that he stands to be intercessor for us as we acknowledge him. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 24. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. So Jesus acknowledged or was the completion of the new covenant, which is in His blood, the fulfillment of the bloodline of sacrifices from Genesis up until the crucifixion. Jesus is that fulfillment. Now I notice here that it says the blood of sprinkling. Well, that brought a thought to my mind when I saw that, and the thought is this: that we use the blood of the Lord Jesus to sprinkle with. There's a scripture for covering with it. There's a scripture for washing with it. And there's a scripture for applying the blood of Jesus. We can use it in all these ways, and there may even be others. But we erroneously use it when we say we plead the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is not to be pleaded for. That's an erroneous use of the blood of Jesus. And God has honored that, but it is unscriptural. And you do not plead for the blood of Jesus. It's a freely given sacrifice on the Lord's part for us. And we don't plead for it any more than you plead for the Holy Spirit or something else. It's a gift that's given unto us, and we do not plead the blood of Jesus. God has honored that in our ignorance, but it is not scriptural. We apply it, we cover, we wash, we sprinkle, but we do not plead the blood of Jesus. For it is a free gift, freely given for you and for me. Across the page, at least in my Bible, Hebrews 13 and verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. The blood is given as a covenant. And it's our covenant that we use for the forgiveness of our sins, for our entering in to the realm of the Spirit. There's no other way to enter in except the blood of the Lord Jesus. That is the only way that of entering in to the things of the Lord, is through the blood of the Lord Jesus. Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. And I believe tonight that every one of us here will make and do make that declaration, that as for me, I will serve the Lord. Now, as we serve the Lord and as we come to communion, there are some stipulations that we need to realize that we are taking on and acknowledging when we take communion. Let's turn over to Matthew 26, verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. It isn't something that's past tense. It is continuing. It's a continuing thing. It is shed. It not was shed. It not will be shed. It is shed. It is shed for whosoever will come and accept the blood of the Lord Jesus. It's a continuing revelation of the Lord to whosoever will, that they may come and accept salvation through the blood of the Lord Jesus, which he has set up as the New Testament covenant, or the fulfillment of the old covenant, bound over and brought into being with the new covenant, which is in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus was crucified, and when he was crucified, the nails were put through his wrists, not through the palms of his hands, they were put through his wrists. Now, that's very significant, because if you study, the Bible doesn't tell you too much, but you can study history and you'll find, and even it implies with David and Jonathan, that they became blood brothers. And in cutting a blood covenant, they cut the wrist. And when Jesus hung on the cross, those spikes were put to his wrist, which signified that he cut a blood covenant for you and me. And when we take and when we come and partake of the Lord's Supper, as we call it, or communion, we are signifying that we are cutting a covenant of blood with Jesus. And when we cut that covenant of blood, we become blood brothers in a greater sense than we can imagine. But just as Jonathan and David were bound together, even unto death, and that's why David found and hunted up Mephibosheth, his son, Jonathan's son, for him, because David was bound by a covenant to take care of his family just as if it were his own, because David had swore to Jonathan. And the Lord has sworn to us that he will fulfill to us all the promises of the book. And when we come and partake of communion, we are swearing before the Lord that we will also fulfill all the covenants of the book. We will keep the judgments, the commandments, and the covenant. That we will keep that covenant. And I never realized that before until we were down at the In the Word seminar. And I was always perturbed about a scripture that I'm going to read next. Over in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 27. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. We're right back to the plagues of Egypt. and to Leviticus and Deuteronomy, right here. And when we partake of the Lord's Supper, and then do not keep the commandments and the statutes of the Lord, when we rebel against them, we are opening the door for the plagues of Egypt to come and be visited upon us, and we are fair game for the demons of Satan in the realm of our physical body. And I had never saw that before. I was always perturbed. I never was happy with communion taken every once a month. I was happy with taking it on special occasion to honor the Lord, but not as a ritual. And now I understand. And these scriptures that I just read bothered me. I never really had an explanation for them until this past 6 weeks. And this was taught very thoroughly down at the James Robinson Seminar. It went into this very thoroughly, that we are bringing damnation and disease and sickness on our own bodies when we partake of the Lord's Supper and then put aside the rest of the book. And they spelled out down there to those Baptists, and us Pentecostals and charismatics spelled out to us very thoroughly that Leviticus and Deuteronomy and Numbers and Joshua are just as much a part of the Bible and need to be studied as the last chapter of the book of Revelation. And they were very thorough about that. And I can understand why. Because by teaching that and showing that the covenant of the Lord is a covenant that he has made unto us, and when we partake of the Lord's Supper, we are in likewise making a covenant unto the Lord. And then when we do not keep that covenant, which is spelled out in this book, and I don't fully understand all the covenant, I want the Lord to reveal it to me, and I want to know it. But in the meantime, Lord, I ask you to forgive me for that which I don't understand and I don't do according to your word. I want you, Lord, I put on notice that I want forgiveness for it, and I want to know. And I want to live according to the covenant of the Lord. I want to have health and strength in my physical body. And I expect it to be there because I expect to take Satan's rights away. And we take his rights away as we live by the word and as we come to an understanding of his word. And so this evening, we're going to partake of communion. And if you want your boy to have it, that's up to you, whether you want him to take communion or not. But Jamie and Jessica will not be served with their... A little older, why they can partake of communion, but this evening why we'll not, because I want to be sure that when we partake, that we understand and we know what we're doing, and it's better not to than to do it and bring this scripture of the judgments and the plagues of Egypt upon our head, than to partake of it and think we're doing an honor or we're doing something to be seen. But let's do it because we're doing it unto the Lord, and we're saying unto the Lord, Lord, I accept your covenant, and I want to live by your covenant, and I want to walk in your covenant, and I want to be what your covenant wants me to be, and I want to be that because I want to be it for Jesus. Amen. Harold and Jim, sitting right inside, right here, Harold, right here. We'll take one bread and one of the cup, and we'll serve it, and then after we've been served, we'll all partake together. You'll pass the bread first and just hold it.
The bread is his broken body. It was striped for our healing. Tonight as we partake, the sickness, the infirmity, the curse, in your heart, which you will, place it upon this broken bread. And as you eat of that, eat of healing. He took the curse upon him to take it off of you. And as we come into that covenant with him, the curse from us, it was placed upon him. And as we receive of his broken body tonight by faith, let that, the healing to our body. And as we partake of his shed blood, the sin, the rebellion, the need for cleansing in your life, place that upon the blood. And as you receive the blood, receive your healing.
For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, my body, which is broken for you, do in remembrance of me.
Father, we thank you for Jesus, the bread of life. We thank you that you brought him forth from the earth, that you caused him to be pierced and striped for us, that he was broken and for our transgressions, our rebellions nailed him to that cross. And Father, we thank you that he became the curse for us, that we might be free. We thank you. Bread, we thank you for this life. We receive it, Father, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you for restoration and healing.
Yes.
I thank you for your covenant that guarantees it to
yes,
us, Lord.
Yes, yes.
As we walk in it, Lord, I thank you for
yes,
it.
Yes.
By
yes.
It is written, thank
yes,
you, that he
Jesus.
Gives us health in all
yes,
of our
yes,
place.
Yes.
And I thank you for that, Father. I thank you
thank
for it, and I declare
Jesus.
Health in all of our place tonight
yes,
in the name
yes,
of the Lord
Jesus.
Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you for it, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
After this, in the same manner, also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this is the cup of the new testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink of it in remembrance of me. And as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show forth the Lord's death till he come.
Father, we thank you for Jesus, the true vine. We thank you for his blood, the fruit of Lord, we receive life, we receive restoration, we receive cleansing, Lord, through this blood tonight. Father, we thank you that you caused him to be pierced for us, and we thank you that that blood flows, that blood still flows and still speaks this night, Lord,
yes,
before your throne, tonight
amen.
For us.
Yes, Lord,
we receive the blood of Jesus, Father, in Jesus'
thank
name.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Praise you, Jesus.
Praise
you, Lord. You know, I believe that the blood of the Lord Jesus is on the altar before the Father.
Yes, yes.
That it's a living,
yes.
moving
yes.
sacrifice there throughout
yes.
eternity. That
yes.
the blood of the Lord Jesus
yes.
will be there throughout eternity
yes.
as an example of what was given for us.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the name of the Lord. Father, I thank you. I
thank
praise you
Lord.
For your blood tonight.
Yes.
I thank you for it. Hallelujah. I praise you for it. I praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
I hope y'all aren't sung out. I want to teach y'all something. Is that okay? We won't do it but a couple of times. The point is we'll get it tonight, and then tomorrow when we sing it, y'all will all know it. And we'll take down names of everybody that doesn't sing tomorrow. Yeah, I've asked for some help. I sing in the crack. It's really real simple. Just listen to it, and we'll play through it a few times, and give you a chance to get familiar with it. Don't get so busy listening to it that you don't listen to it, okay? Let's worship the Lord.
When I look into your holiness, when I gaze into your loveliness, when all things that surround me become shadows in the light of you, joy of reaching your heart, when my will becomes enthroned in your love, when all things that surround me become shadows in the light of you.
I worship you.
to God. Let's get in the Word. John chapter 11. Father, we thank you tonight that through the blood of the Lamb we can come into your presence. We thank you that you gave the perfect sacrifice, that you provided the way for us to come in, that you opened the door that we might come into your presence even this night. And Father, we boldly come before your throne. We come, Father, because we're a people with needs. We're a people that needs a God. We're a people that needs a sovereign Lord and Master. We're a people who need to be touched and ministered to and shaped and molded and watched over. Lord, we're a people in need of a shepherd and a sovereign. And Lord, we come before you tonight, and we come before your sovereignty. And Lord, we confess that Jesus is Lord over this place. He's Lord over this camp meeting. He's Lord over the highways. He's Lord over the weather. He's Lord over the attendance. He's Lord over the finances. He's Lord over every need. He's Lord over every person that comes and everyone that doesn't come. We confess that Jesus is Lord and Master tonight, and we submit ourselves under that Lordship tonight. And we ask by the anointing of your Spirit that you bring forth revelation, and that you bring forth life, and that you bring forth that which would minister and that which would meet the need. Father, we give ourselves unto you. And Father, we confess our own inadequacies. You are the teacher. You are the ministry. You are the Word. And Lord, we give ourselves unto you, and we ask by the anointing of your Spirit, Lord, that you loose us into your presence, and you loose upon us the anointing of your Spirit, and that you just cause the veil to be lifted, Father, that we might see clearly. And we give you praise and we give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory. Amen. Let me tell you the ground rules before we start for those of y'all who weren't here when we were here last time. There's pauses from time to time. And in those pauses, you throw amens or praise gods or that's good preaching. You see, I got you at a disadvantage. It's already 20 to 9, and I'm just starting. Hello? And if y'all want to get out by 2, you fill in the gap. Amen. Amen. 3 of y'all heard that. Amen. I said it goes a lot quicker when you fill in the gap. Amen. Because otherwise, I don't know if you heard me or not, and I just keep saying it again and again until you hear me. Amen. Amen. Well, we're all in the same place. What's the first word? No, right there. John chapter 11. Got you, didn't I? John chapter 11, what? That's a good time, isn't it? Amen. You know, for years I went around confessing that the Lord saved the best to last. I've always believed in the restoration of the church. I've always believed that the glory of the last house was going to be greater than the first. And the more I read the book of Acts, the more excited I get, because they didn't get enough, amen, that we're going to get twice that much. But for years I confessed he saved the best to last, until I met a dear brother who said, "Brother, you're unscriptural." Not me. You know how we get. What do you mean? He said, "Well, it doesn't say he saved the best for last. It says he saved the best for now." Hello, are we in the right place? I said, "Now." Amen. Now, a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary, which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Anybody ever have any heroes? Two of us. Anybody ever have any heroes? You also wave. See, we'll give questions from time to time. It's everybody smile at me, okay? I'm from Arkansas. I'm a little simple-minded. And I didn't come to preach to you. I came to communicate with you. Is that okay? So we aren't in church. We're going to throw all the pretense out the window. And we came here tonight because we're members one of another. Amen? Amen. And the part that I've got tonight won't fit unless y'all's part gets plugged in. Amen. Anybody ever have any heroes? Good. Amen. I remember when I was little, I had lots of heroes. My little boy, bless his heart, goes through the same thing. I was going to be a Marine one week and the Lone Ranger the next week. And you know what I'm talking about? But then I got saved. And then I got a whole new set of heroes. Amen. Well, amen. One hero I've had since the day I got saved was that Mary. You know, worshipers have an air about them. You know what I'm saying? When we don't spend time worshiping the Lord, we get real presumptuous and bold, and we talk a lot but say little, you know? But when we do spend time worshiping and magnifying and waiting upon Him, there's just a surety, a sureness about Him and about who He is and what He wants to do. I'm setting you up for something. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord, who took that spikenard of precious oil from everything that she had, that she probably earned by being a prostitute, That was for free. Nobody else would have enough money to do that. But the Lord accepted what she had. Somebody receive that. Amen? She got it the wrong way, but it was all she had. Okay? And the Lord received that. She broke. She gave everything that she had. And she wept. Let me give you a little tradition here that a friend of mine just brought back from Israel. The women, especially of that day in the East, kept tear bottles. And when they had frustrations and great emotional traumas, hello sisters, you know, and they'd begin to weep, they would collect those tears in the bottles. And this brother was saying that he believed Mary broke that spikenard of precious perfume and washed his feet. And she took that bottle of her own tears and frustrations and poured it out. And then she began to weep. And then she took her hair and dried. That's worship. It was that Mary. It was that Mary whose brother Lazarus was sick. It was that Mary who was so close to the Lord, who was so touched by Him, whose heart, who He was so touched by. It was that Mary whose brother was sick. Now, if I was the Lord and I could pick somebody that I would let call all the shots, it'd be that Mary. It'd be a worshiper. I'm setting you up. Everybody hold on to that. Therefore, his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest, underline lovest, we're going to find two of them tonight, he whom thou lovest is sick. The Greek word is phileo. It's translated by Goodspeed's translation as emotion. I kind of like that. It's affection. It's human level emotion. How many know that's good to have? Paul said, let brotherly love continue. Amen. Let phileo continue. We need to have natural human affection. And they said, Lord, the one that you have affection for is dying. They didn't say another word because they just knew, listen to me, that Jesus felt such love for them that he had dropped what he was doing and healed Lazarus on the spot. Hold on to that. When Jesus heard that, he said unto them, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Moffat's translation says, this sickness won't end in death. It's not going to end until the Son of God is glorified. Somebody listen. That's exciting. I said, this sickness isn't going to end in death. Death isn't the end of anything. Woo-hoo! Amen. It's getting better. Death isn't the end of anything. Sickness isn't the end of anything. The conflicts and walls and things that seem to be stopping us and circumstances that seem to die, it's not the end of anything because the Lord said, I'm not through counting until we pass through death into life. There was the hope. Some of y'all take that. You may need it tonight. I think you do, since I was going to preach something else until the worship service. It keeps happening to me down here, Glenn. Somebody told me Glenn prays it over everybody. Is that right? Now, amen. Now Jesus loved, here's our other word, Martha and her sister and Lazarus. The Greek word agape. Goodspeed translates it as devotion. And I like that best. When he heard therefore that he was sick, let me get our word study and then we'll go on. Mary and Martha were so sure that the Lord felt affection for them, that he had dropped everything he was doing, turn all the circumstances around to meet their need as they saw it. But Jesus was devoted to Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Therefore, he didn't meet the need as they saw it. Glory. I want to tell you something tonight, and it's good news. The Lord's devoted to you.
Hallelujah.
Somebody smile about that. Amen. How many found out how far your devotion carries you? Hello, about the middle of the week usually. If you were real devoted, then we're back to mercy again, aren't we? Come on, nobody in here but us. Hello? Thank God for the mercy of God. Amen. We'll be real good for a couple of days. We also get real good at setting everybody straight when we're doing real good. I'm meddling now, aren't I? Amen. That's why we run out of goods so quick. Amen. But I want to tell you tonight, don't relax and quit living for God. That's not what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to say relax and live for God. Hello? Amen. Enjoy your covenant. Because God's devoted to you. And I got some more good news for you. He loves you too much to do it the way you want Him to. Hello. Amen. I'm in the right place, aren't I? Amen. We've been trying everything we know to get God to do it our way, and He just doesn't do it. We were in Rockford, Illinois. Kathy and Jonathan have been praying for snow. We've been through this stuff 2 weeks longer than y'all. We got up there and there was 6 inches of snow on the ground. And that night it was forecasted rain. And we could see all of that rain freezing on top of all that snow and us having to drive. So we all just agreed in prayer. Praise God. The Lord ought to be delighted to just send us a couple of inches of powder because the streets were fine. They had them all cleared off. And we just knew we were going to get that, right? Well, God didn't do it that way. It started raining. But by the next morning, it was 42 degrees, and there wasn't any snow anywhere. And we were much happier that the Lord did it His way. Somebody didn't hear that. I said, we were a whole lot happier the Lord did it His way. Amen? It only looks like we know what we're doing in the now when we look back. Well, amen. Amen, I guess, yeah. They thought that the Lord had affection for them. Well, think about that. You aren't under that covenant. You know God doesn't have affection for you. He don't get no goosebumps. I get so, I'm going to meddle here and I'm liable to get in trouble, but y'all have to forgive me, right? Amen. How many love God? I do too, so you got to love me. If I say it wrong, y'all got to forgive me. And I got the microphone, so you got to wait to correct me until later. No, amen. I get so tired of people saying, I know that I hurt the Lord. You didn't hurt the Lord. Yeah. He's not moving in the emotion realm. He's moving in the devotion realm. Amen. How you know He knew what you were when He picked you? Amen. You've just been finding out lately, but He knew. All right? I'll do this for I don't even know why I'm doing this, but I'm doing it again. A few years ago, I really cut my teeth on holiness teaching, thank God. Y'all know Brother David Osterbrook? God bless Brother David, got me grounded in the Word. All I listened to was his tape. And the only two things I listened to in life were the authority of the believer and holiness and deliverance. And I had a real good record going. You know, when you first get saved, it's easy to be perfect. You know? Amen? You just say Jesus and it all flies off of you. Amen. And I was learning my authority and I knew who I was and what I was doing and I knew about the enemy and rebuke and bind and kick and whatever. I knew about holiness and had to live clean and perfect and everything was, it was easy to be perfect. Until I began to be perfect. Sure did. I mean, I crashed and burned bad. But I loved God and He loved me. And I got back up again.
Amen.
And I was at a prayer meeting one night. You know, you're always scared to go to prayer meetings, especially where the gifts flow, you know. And I said, oh, man, somebody's going to read my mail and I'm fixing to get it.
And they did.
Well, they did better than that. We were praying and a sister said, brother, I feel like I've got a word for you. And I began to go, oh, God, you know. Thus saith the Lord, except you repent, you'll perish. You know, that's what I was expecting. And she said, I saw a clean white sheet of paper. And I saw two big hands tear it in half. And I was going, huh? And somebody else had the interpretation. Said, your record's already ruined. Hello? Relax and enjoy the Lord. Oh, somebody listen. Yes, holiness. Yes, holiness. Yes, purity. Yes, uprightness. Yes, cleanness. But no pressure, no depression, no legally. Are you listening to me? Amen. If we don't have joy and a living relationship with God, then our clean sheets aren't doing us any good anyway. Wow! God, this wasn't what it was supposed to be. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When He heard, therefore, He was sick, He dropped everything He was doing and ran. No. He set them up. He set them up. He knew Lazarus was dead. And he stuck around two more days before he left. Took two more days to get there, and Lazarus had been in the grave 4 days. He set them up. Anybody ever feel that way? You know what I'm saying? God set me up. That's all right now. We aren't going to get through tonight. Death is not a stopping place. And I'm not talking about your physical bodies, although that's true too. But I don't think that's what we're here to minister to. I think we're here to minister to some emotions instead. And I said, death's not an end. And when you feel like God set you up, it's not over yet. Because he set him up. He abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. And after that, he said unto his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples said unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in a day? If any man walks in the day, he stumbles not because he sees the light of this world, but if a man walks in the night, he stumbles because there's no light in him. Oh, I'm about to do it again. One day, I was in my closet just praying up a storm. I was under a particular amount of pressure, and I knew exactly what God was going to have to do. You know, and I had it all set up for him. And I was telling him what he's going to have to do. And the Holy Ghost stopped me just so clear, and he said, son, I don't need any suggestions. I said, yes, sir. I wasn't the only one. I heard a young man named David Howe. Are you familiar with David? Precious brother. I met him through Christ for the Nation. He's one of those guys who did everything wrong when he first got saved. He went to the funeral home, tried to raise a girl from the dead, had been there a week. He got in tremendous amounts of debts trying to sponsor. He learned everything the hard way. How many are glad that somebody else did that? Amen? Maybe you won't have to. Well, anyway, David was in his closet one day praying, and he just read a book about George Mueller. And George Mueller, you know, believed, what was it, $4 million into the end to take care of all those orphans in England. And yeah, and he said, bless God, that's inspiring, I'm going to do that. You know, he got his water and his bread and got in the closet, and he was going to fast until he heard from heaven. About the third day, he heard from heaven. God said, what are you doing? He said, I'm believing you for $4 million. And he said, what for? He said, all my orphans. He said, you don't have no orphans. All you got's you and your wife and 2 kids, and I'm taking pretty good care of you, aren't I? He said, yes, sir. He said, get up out of there and go do what I told you. Lord, don't you know if you do it that way, what's going to happen? Aren't disciples wonderful? Jesus said, look, if a man walks in the daytime, he doesn't stumble. If he walks in the night, he does stumble. I am the light. I don't ever stumble. Hallelujah. Everybody say this with me. God is never late. Let's do it again. God is never late. One more time like we believe it. God is never late. All right. Now, he passes up some good opportunities to be early, doesn't he? But he's never late. All right? Amen. We might as well laugh at ourselves, everybody else does. Amen. I'm here to tell you tonight, I got a message from God. He loves you. He's devoted to you. He didn't let you call it the way you wanted it, because he's got something better in mind. Amen. You know, the only direction I had from God about this whole camp meeting is it's not going to be like anybody thinks it is. And I got down here today, I said, I heard from God. But that's all right. He also told me not to plan ahead. Let him lead me one message at a time. Keep me out of trouble. I'm sorry. These things said he. After that, he says unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth. But I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then his disciples said, Lord, if he's asleep, he'll be okay. Howbeit Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking rest and sleep. Howbeit Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking rest and sleep. Then Jesus said unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Let me change the tense there. Most of the other translations besides King James, the tense is different in Greek. Jesus wasn't confessing that Lazarus is in a state of death. He only confessed that Lazarus has experienced death. I like that. Amen? The Lord always speaks from the now. And he's not that concerned how bad it got yesterday. Today's what he's talking about. He said, boys, plainly, Lazarus has died. And I'm glad. God can do that to you sometimes, can't he? He knows the word to wake you up. Lazarus has died, and I'm glad. that I wasn't there. For your sakes, to the intent that you might believe. I was still on my cane when I was here several years ago, wasn't I? I was talking to some of y'all. I was in a car wreck 5 years ago, right? Yeah, just about this time of year. I was driving down the road in my Volkswagen, and a dear little lady was driving in the other lane in a big car. And she felt led to turn left right where my Volkswagen was. And she drove right through the door of my Volkswagen. And from the hip to the knee, my leg was broken in five places. And I was in surgery for several hours. I was in traction for 2 weeks. And the doctor said, well, it'll be a year before you can walk at all. 6 weeks, I was up on my cane preaching, amen.
Down here preaching.
Amen. Don't teach the devil. You know? Yeah, that's right. But I experienced, my knee got locked up because I was in surgery for so long. And if has anybody ever had knee surgery, you know what I'm talking about. It just, they freeze. That's a good spiritual lesson. If you don't use muscles, they go away.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Well, anyway, my muscles went away and all shrunk up. My knee got locked. And I used to have to do these real painful exercises of making my knee bend. And what you do is you bend it just as far as you can bend it, and then you bend it some more. And it hurts real bad. And I was laying on the floor one night crying. I call it praying. Hello, but I was crying. Woo, God, poor me, you know. But I was getting desperate. I had to hear from God because that knee wasn't going any further. And those doctors weren't going to be right. And God spoke so clear to my heart, every knee shall bow.
Praise God.
Amen. I mean, so you hear that knee? Amen. And I'd work and I'd work and I'd cry and I'd pray and I'd confess and I'd work and I'd rebuke and I'd cry and I'd pray and I'd do everything I could do. Well, inside a few months, that knee was bending. Inside a few more months, I was walking without a cane. In a few more months, I was walking without a limp, but it left me with no muscle or shrunken muscles from here around to here, from the inside of the knee to the outside of the thigh. Those muscles were shrunken, and it made this leg smaller than this leg. And it was okay, but I couldn't put any weight on it by itself. You know, I could walk on both legs, but I couldn't do anything like this. In our church in Benton, we were having a revival with a crazy New Zealand guy. And it was one of those nights when everybody was the slain of the Lord were many, you know, the whole front of the church. Everybody was laid out, and a woman got out of a wheelchair for the first time in 15 years. And anyway, I said, praise God, I'm going to get in line and get prayed for. It wasn't any big deal. You know, I could walk and I could do everything, but, you know, every time I got in the bathtub, I said, God, how come, you know, I got to have that? How come one leg can't be like the other one? And I'd been believing healing a long time. From the instant they rolled me in that hospital, I was confessing healing. And I got in line and the brother laid hands on me and I didn't feel nothing. Not a goosebump, didn't fall down, didn't anything. Well, I sat down on the front row and watched the service go on. A few minutes, I started feeling a twitching around my knee that I hadn't felt. So I went in the bathroom, took my pants off. I had to see. And there on my leg were those muscles instantly restored. And I'm saying that to say this. I was glad that he didn't do it 5 years ago to the intent that I might trust him and then see him instantly do all that I'd ask him to. Somebody listen. We go through experiences and times and we can't understand why God's not moved and God's not done it and God's not moved according to what we thought he was going to and what his word says he's going to. But then in an instant of time, he moves. And we say, thank you, Lord, you didn't do it. Thank you, Lord, you didn't do it. Jesus said, I'm glad I wasn't there. If I'd been there, he wouldn't have died. That's the truth. You know how many funerals Jesus got invited to? Three. And he wrecked all three of them. But that's the truth in our life, too. There's times in the presence of God to where nothing could die. There'd be no way to get sick. There'd be no way for things to turn around or go wrong because it's that time. But then there's other times and other seasons where things don't seem to fit like they're supposed to. Do you know what I'm talking about? And you're doing the same thing you were doing a month ago, but it's not working like it did a month ago. And the Lord said, I'm glad It was one of those times. To the intent that you might believe. And underline that word. We're going to find out something about that word. We charismatics have destroyed it. Bless our hearts. I'll tell you about it later. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there to the intent that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go with him, that we may die with him. Aren't friends great? Let me tell you something else you can expect in those times, in those seasons. I was still on my cane. I saw an old friend of mine. Isn't it always? A brother I really love. And he saw me on the cane. He'd heard about our wreck, and my wreck. Thank God. It was just me. And he said, brother, you know, the other night we were praying for you. And we know that things like this don't happen when people are right with God. And we asked the Lord what it was you did. You know? I just happened to think of that answer. You know, if I was God and somebody asked me that question, I'd pop them upside the head. Well, what did Brother So-and-so do to get his leg broke? Shut up, you little... You know what I'm saying? I can relate to my son because I'm a father. And then if this child gets out and gets hurt, and somebody tries to downgrade... I mean, I already protect that child. But do you let that child be hurt and then have somebody attack him? Thank God for his mercy. Amen? Because we've all been the friends sometimes, haven't we? Hello. God was merciful. I didn't hit him. Because the same advice he gave me, he had to eat inside a few months. Amen. I'm saying that to say this. Don't get your eye off the resurrection just because Thomas mouths off on the way to the tomb. Okay? Because that's where a lot of people lose it. They get so bitter over what Brother So-and-so said when they were in such a shape that they don't go any further. Lord didn't pay any attention to him. He didn't even answer. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had laid in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was near unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, about 2 miles. And many of the Jews came to Martha and to Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Thank God for friends. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still at the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, we're going to notice here that Mary and Martha both came out to meet him, identical action, said the same words to him, but I know enough Marys and I know enough Marthas to know that they didn't have the same tone in their voice when they said it. Come on, Marthas, let's say amen. Amen. You know, brothers can be Marthas. Marthas are strictly business. Amen. Cut and dry. Let's get these answers. Let's figure out how to do it. Let's get it done. Amen. Bless God. Ramrod on with the show. And Martha was mad. I know Martha's. I know she was. Anybody ever get mad at God? That's too honest. They didn't either. There's nobody in here but us. Anybody ever get mad at God? Come on. Yeah, confession will get you free. And Martha came out and she said, Jesus, I thought you loved me. I thought you loved Lazarus. I thought you promised healing. We sent word to you and you didn't bother to show up. Now, where were you? That's Martha. I think we've all got a little of that. But I'm not through. Because we had Mary too. Martha said it to Jesus, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. That's true. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it to thee. That sounded good. And Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. And Martha said unto him, listen to this. I know, Lord. I've been believing that all my life. You know, the golden streets and the sweet by and by. Look at her statement. He said, Martha, your brother's going to rise again. She said, well, Lord, we'll understand it by and by. Lord's looking for faith and we're spouting doctrine. Somebody listen, just us in here. What is the first word of this chapter? Now. Okay, that's where we are. It's now. Amen. Now. Thy brother shall rise again. And Martha said unto him, I know that he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection. Knox translation says, wherever I am is resurrection.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Somebody hear that?
Amen.
You can't hide from my resurrection. You can put it in the grave. You can let it stink. You can hide it at the pit of hell. But when resurrection life moves, David said, where can I go to flee from your presence? He said, Martha, your brother's going to rise. She said, I know he will in the last day. He said, no, Martha. Wherever I am, whenever I am, it's resurrection. And wherever I am is life. Life.
Amen.
It's good. Healing's good, but health is better.
Amen.
Resurrection's great, but life's better.
Amen.
And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Is this where your faith is? And she said, yes, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ. Amen. And when she'd so said, she went away and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the Master is come and he calls for thee. And as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha had met him. And the Jews then which were with her in the house and comforted her when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goes to the grave to weep there. Now when Mary was come to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, why? Mary says, God, I'm tired of this. Martha. And Mary says, Lord, I just don't understand. Martha's getting mad and holler at God. Mary's go home and won't talk to God. Somebody listen. All emotion. All to be dealt with. Lord, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in spirit and was troubled. He literally troubled himself and became violent in his spirit. Every time you get in an area of your life where you're under the heavy dealings of God, you know what I'm saying. Every time you get in those situations where you can't understand what God's doing or if God's doing, every time you get there, you can count on that stinking worm to jump on top of you and to twist it into you and to make it hurt worse. And when Jesus saw all the human suffering and all the pain and all the crying and all the wailing and all the weeping, he got mad. Not at them, but at the one who attacked them. We serve a jealous God. Huh? That doesn't just mean that he gets mad if we don't do it right. It means he gets furious if the enemy tries to seduce us from off of our track. His passion, his anger. And he said, where have... what's that word? Where have you laid him? One of the only times in the Bible God ever asked information of men. And it wasn't because he didn't know.
Amen.
It was because they needed to know. What hurts you? What sets you back? Where have you laid it? What happened to that vision, that hope, that ministry? You know, I know people that I know that I know that I know 6 and 8 years ago, God separated and called them unto ministry, and we're seeing them die. Working 9 to 5 without any hope. I know people who caught a vision and a glimpse of the glory of God, and they're settling back in some old dead, y'all forgive me, denominational, frozen mortuary church. I know people that 5 and 6 years ago had the vision of the body of Christ burning within them. And now content to be spectators and chair warmers. Where have you laid it? What about that purpose? What about that word? What about that vision? What about whatever it was you were trusting God to do that you didn't think he did? They've all got a story. All the charismatic casualties, they've all got a story. Somebody didn't receive them, or somebody spoke against them, or somebody's preacher ran off with somebody's wife. Or...
Amen.
They've all got a story.
Yeah.
The Lord says, where have you laid it? If you want me to raise it, it's time to come clean. If you've been a Martha and you're mad, it's time to come clean. We got a dear friend. Y'all do too, so I'm not going to tell you too many details. But if I ever knew a couple that trusted God and loved God and were faithful to God, it was that couple. Only to find themselves through some crazy, insane judge throwing him in prison. That next Sunday morning, she came to church. I've never seen that kind of countenance before. She resisted and fought. Just hated the word and hated me for preaching it. She was angry and hurt. After the service, I went over to her and I said, "Sister, you tell God you're mad at him. Then you forgive him." And she did. And by that night, she was soft and trusted. Situation hadn't changed. She didn't understand a bit better. But the bitterness was gone. We ministered in Conway, Arkansas, and had a young man come up to pray for us. And the Lord gave me a word about what was in his heart, what he's going through. And I told him, I said, "I want you to pray this prayer with me." And I said, "When you do, it's going to hurt you. So I'm telling you." I said, "Father," he repeated. I said, "I forgive you." And he said that and he broke. Just a pool on the floor, weeping before God. He'd been carrying unforgiveness toward God for 2 years. Because he'd been hurt. Set up. But he wouldn't admit it. He was one of those religious ones that went to church and acted like everything was fine. The Lord says, "Where have you laid it? If there's something missing in your life, if there's something that died, where have you put it? Because I'm not through with it just because it died. Death's not going to stop me." And he said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said unto him, "Come and see." And Jesus wept. Literally, tears flooded down his face. Then said the Jews, "Behold how he loved him." And some of them said, "Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died?" Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, came to the grave, and it was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. And he said, "Take ye away the stone. You take it off." I could make him transfigure through the middle of the rock. But I want you to see it doesn't smell like you think it does. I want you to see the reality of the situation. "Take ye away the stone." Oh, God. And they did. And Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, "Lord, by this time he stinketh. He's been dead 4 days. He's corrupt. Corruption." Said, "Oh, God, if we could somehow deal with the people who've lost hope." Because they think corruption set in. They think it's too late. Amen. It's on the downhill side. There's nothing God can do. Said unto her, "Said I not unto thee, if thou would only," Moffat adds, "if thou would only believe, thou shouldest see, experience the glory of God." There's our word. It's pistis, the Greek word. The same one translated as faith. And it doesn't mean if I would only believe. You know, don't you? We've all done it, haven't we? We've believed. We've locked ourselves into some kind of legalistic faith covenant. That's not God. The word is trust. It's a family word between father and son. It's integrity. That little boy's taught me about integrity of words. Because if daddy says it, bless God, he's going to hear it again. And he better not break his word. A few months ago, we took off into West Texas, and we knew we were going down to the Gulf of Mexico, but we went west first, and then we were coming down to Victoria, Texas. And we knew we were going to have 2 nights off, and we were going to go down to Corpus and find a motel there and do some paperwork. And I promised Jonathan he was going to swim in the Gulf of Mexico before we ever left home. Well, about the time we got to San Antonio, the hurricane got to Houston. And the whole Gulf Coast was filled with reporters, and we couldn't go in during those 2 days. So we went to Victoria, and the next morning, I had to leave, and that was on a Monday morning. And on Tuesday morning, I had to be in Texarkana. And Victoria, Texas is, I don't know if you know where it is, but it's way down there. So we drove down to one town, and you couldn't really see the Gulf, just a bay. So we kept driving, and we kept driving until we got to Matagorda Peninsula, way on down there, to keep Dad's word and see the Gulf of Mexico. And then we drove 15 more hours to get to Texarkana before we spent the night. And you know, I did that because I gave my word, not because he believed it good enough. Did anybody hear me? You know, I didn't check with him all night, the night before we went, wake him up in the night, see if he was believing good enough before I decide whether I was going to keep my word or not. There it is. He's faithful that promised. He's faithful that promised. It's not up to us to get God in a scissor lock and make him do what he promised to do. If he wasn't such a gentleman, he'd get you in a scissor lock. But instead, he lets us run out of steam until we trust. Said I not unto thee, if you'd only trust me, you'd see the glory of God. And they took away the stone from the place where he was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and he said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. I know that you always hear me, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus! Campbell Morgan said if he had to put Lazarus on the front of it, every grave in the world would have emptied. Amen. The authority of the incarnate word. Lazarus, come out! And up in the mouth of that cave, there he stood, grave clothes and all. And he gave him one more word. He turned around to the people and he said, you loose him. And let him go. I heard a brother who, he's a preacher. Before he started preaching, he's a chicken farmer. Importing chickens across the country. You catch the chickens and you tie their legs and you stick them in those little cages and you load the cages on a truck and you move them across the country and then you take them out of the cages and you untie their legs and guess what? They just sit there. Because they've been bound so long, they don't know what it feels like to be free. Oh, somebody listen. 2,000 years ago, that serpent's head was crushed. It was crushed! But sometimes we've been bound so long, we don't know what it feels like to be free. We're scared to take that step and to trust him. But I want to tell you tonight, from your Father, it's his word to your heart. All right? It doesn't matter what I preach or don't preach. God isn't bound by me, thank you, Jesus. But God's word to our heart, when he says, come forth, stick that foot out and start walking. All right? Glenn, you know this. Anybody knows this. Especially if you pray for people for healing or deliverance, either one. If you don't get them out of the feeling realm and into the obedience realm, they'll never keep what they got. Amen. You can come to every camp meeting from now for the next 50 years. Have somebody lay their hands on your sweet head and cast that same devil out of you every time. But you aren't going to get free until you take it to your heart and you say, this chicken's been untied. Squawk, squawk, I'm walking. Amen.
Amen.
But you got to get out of the feeling realm. And if you've got old deep-seated things, you get honest with God. I don't want you to come up here and confess them to me. I don't want you to stand up. I want you to get honest with God. You know, that's the last thing in the world people will do. They'll confess their sins to a preacher before they'll ever go to God. I've had them do it. They want to shock me. You ain't going to shock me. Not this boy. I thought out in the street was world. The world was bad. I pastored a church 4 years. That's where the tough stuff is. Some Sunday school kids had problems all their lives. Amen. Us street kids, we got set free quick. Oh, don't get me wrong. If you got needs and I can and God speaks to your heart, I want to pray for you. But what I'm trying to tell you is if you've got deep-seated resentments and barriers against God, you get along with God. And you say, all right, Father, let's get this mess cleaned up. And don't you go blaming on the devil if you hadn't done that first. Because unforgiveness is the one sin I can find in the Bible that cuts you out of covenant instantly.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And if you got it against God, watch out, buddy, you open the door. You can't cast them out quick enough from running back in. But you clean it up with God. You'd be amazed at how much that'll do. Amen. Then you can keep what you get.
Amen.
Wow. Brother, that was all. That had to be God, because I sure didn't want to say it. I love y'all. And the Lord loves you. And that's all I'm trying to tell you, is that the Lord loves you. And He's devoted to you. And if you're in the middle of something that doesn't look like it's going where it should have gone, hang in there. If you'll only believe, you'll see the glory of God. Father, we worship You. Lord, I praise You and I thank You and I give You glory. Lord, I thank You that You love us so much. Lord, we've tried and we've tried and we've just not been able. We've just not been able to be strong enough and devoted enough in ourselves. But Lord, we thank You that You sent Jesus even when we hated You. When we were rebels and aliens against You, You sent Jesus for us. And Father, how much more, now that we do know You and now that we do love You, how much more can we come before You and have You clean and purify our hearts and our lives before You? Father, we come before You right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, if there's one here that's got aught against You or against their brothers or against their sisters, Lord, I don't know why. I don't know why we step so hard on unforgiveness. But Lord, if there's one here tonight that's bound by unforgiveness, that's bound by a root of bitterness, Father, even tonight, Lord, speak to their heart. Speak to their heart, Lord, that they might see all they've got to do is let go. All they've got to do is let go. Lord, if there's one here who's hopeless and given up, Father, You, let their heart be lightened to see that they've not come here by accident. Lord, that they've not even come into their circumstances by accident. But Lord, You've watched over them. And Lord, You've made a door and a way of escape for them. Father, if those are here tonight that are bound and afflicted by the enemy, Father, even this night, Lord, by the anointing of Your Spirit, let the shackles be broken. Father, we look to You and we give You this time. And Father, we thank You for it. In Jesus' name. Everybody, let's keep our heads bowed and our eyes closed for a minute. Keep your heart fixed upon the Lord. Just let your spirit, man, begin to worship Him. Begin to worship Him. Begin to worship Him. Set your affection upon Him. The book of Colossians says we can set our heart toward Him. To worship Him. To worship Him. To worship Him. If there's one in here today, it may be anger, it may be hurt, but you've come to the place to where you felt like God just deserted you and let it all fall on you. The Lord wants you to know that it's not over yet. It's not over yet. And you're going to see why He's waiting. But if you're here tonight and you've been bound by those emotions, there's so many people mad and hurt toward God. Hopeless. If that's you tonight, I want you to stand where you are. We want to pray with you. This is you and God. It doesn't matter who's around you or what they're thinking or what they've been through. If you're here tonight or angry toward God and you've been bound, tonight's your night to get free. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. We worship You, Lord. We exalt You. All right, amen. Every eye open, every head up. I wasn't expecting, because we've all had that much. And it's not that we've been bound or stuck back in a cave or a rock stuck in front of us. It's that the Lord wants us to know where we are before we get to that point. And the Lord wants you to know that it's not over yet. Okay? The circumstances, the situations, it may look like it died, but it's not over yet. Just trust. Just trust. Yeah, brother, please. I was just begin to worship the Lord on the piano. Let's just begin to worship the Lord. I don't know if we're through or if we're not through. But let's all worship Him, because He's worthy. He's worthy. His words brought healing. I sense it in the Spirit. I know He has to me. Let's just worship Him. Glory. That you had built something and you thought it was on sturdy, but instead of being a real corner bracket, it was a hinge. And as soon as some weight and some pressure got on there, just everything gave loose.
Yeah.
And the Lord says that it's time to go back and build a more solid footing. And it's time to put a little more brace under it. All right? The Lord says it's not over. It's like you almost... You just all of a sudden everything caved in. And the Lord says it just caved in because there wasn't enough support under it. But the Lord's building support now. And it's building strength now. And it'll all be added back unto you. Don't you be concerned about what's been lost, okay? Don't get your eye on what's been shaken. Get your eye on what remains, okay? Because He's building a more solid footing and a more solid foundation. And when He adds those things back unto you, the Lord says it's going to stand firm, okay? Amen. Father, right now in Jesus' name, I speak strength and I speak health and I speak life. Father, right now, Lord, the devastation, Lord, that my sisters felt, Lord, it's just been almost like everything just gave way. But Lord, we thank You, Lord, tonight that You're building strength, Lord, and You're building solid support, Lord, that this time there's a firm understructure, Lord. This time there's a firm foundation. This time there's a cornerstone laid. This time, Lord, everything is according to plumb line. And this time everything is being right. And Lord, when something's built upon it, it's going to stand firm. Lord, because the foundation is firm. Oh, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, even tonight. Even tonight. Even tonight. Father, let that spirit of revelation come upon my sister, Lord. Let that spirit of revelation come upon my sister. Let that spirit of revelation come upon my sister, Lord. Too small for You. Let that spirit of revelation come upon her, Lord. Cause the scales to fall, even as she's cried and even as she's prayed. And Lord, even as she's longed after You in her heart, even as she's looked at Your word and said, Lord, but I just don't see, even as the times that she's faced circumstances and situations. situations and said, Lord, I just can't understand. Father, there's nothing too small for you. Let that spirit of revelation come upon her, Lord. Let that spirit of revelation come upon her, not just to see things in the future, but to see things in the now. To see things in the now. To see things in the now. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask God. He will not throw it back upon him. Lord, you've got no off seasons. Father, we thank you for supernatural wisdom and revelation for my sister, even this night, Father. In Jesus' name. 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 Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Father, I thank you for your healing. I thank you for your restoration. Oh, Father, your sovereign love is more than we can comprehend, but we thank you and we love you. Oh, Lord Jesus, we just adore and worship you. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your manifestation here. We give you glory for what's been done. Father, as we go from this place, let there be a sense, Lord, a knowing, Lord, that you've touched and you've healed. Father, in our heart, in our life, Father, I speak to the emotions of those that are hearing, and I say, Lazarus, come forth. In Jesus' name, Lazarus, come forth. The reality, the new man, sanctified, holy, walking in newness of life. Father, we thank you for tonight and what's been done, and we give you glory. Father, send us forth from this place and gather us together in your love. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.